I find that tact, T-A-C-T, is the gift of building a fire under people and their dreams without making their blood boil. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. I find that tact is the gift of building a fire under people and under their dreams without making their blood boil. You know, we all have a great problem. We are masters in every possible way. And so we look out and we see other masters. And we are not fully aware of masters yet because we like to judge what other masters are doing. We like to think, are they using their talents? Are they really going for it? Are they really being outstanding in their work? Or are they not? Now, we look at people, and for instance, we look at Gregor. We say, Gregor is so fantastic, so super, so magnificent, he could do anything. And why doesn't he? Well, basically because Gregor is being himself and having fun. And super basically, you like that super basically? Super basically, he doesn't think it's anybody else's business what he does.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And he just goes and does what he wants to do because he's having a ball. And if he hears that someone has a suggestion for him or something to do, if it isn't someone that he's trying to make time with, like his girlfriend or his world up there, he doesn't pay attention to it. And is that bad? No. Is it good? No. Why is it that to put a fire under somebody like Greg or somebody like that, to get them going in their genius, it is difficult. It's difficult. It has a tendency to make their blood boil. They do not let you see that, but it almost makes their blood boil. Because, get off my back, you know? What is it that makes a genius so fabulous a genius? He does his own thing. He thinks in areas that most people don't think. Now, if we were really, I don't know what you'd call us, little mice or something like that, a little fly or whatever, or let's say a little loving thought, and we were to perch on Gregor's brain as a little loving thought and listen to what goes on in his mind, we would be amazed. If he would write books about what goes on in his mind, he would have some bestsellers, because he is such a generous, outgoing, giving person, loving, sensitive, and all that good stuff. And nobody knows it. They think it. They see little bits of it. But they don't really know the dimension, the full depth of his gentleness. You know? They don't know it because he doesn't know it. He just does it because it's his nature. Now, what is your nature? What is the nature of people in your world, people that you know? I was talking to a prisoner, and Joseph was telling us that he was going through some pretty tough experiences right now. And I said, well, why is that, Joseph? You know, and leading him on. And so he said, well, what if a person tells you that they can do anything they want, they can hurt anybody they want, and it's perfectly okay. It's in keeping with our teachings. And I said, Joseph, if anybody says that to you, that's you talking. Because if you are a loving, gentle, caring person, you could not create a person who was irresponsible in your world. You could not create a person who was ugly and mean and hateful in your world. You could not create a person who was doing something which was taking from others and hurting others. You could not. You could not. Now, if you are that type of person, then you create them very readily. Well, I didn't create these people. Oh, yes, you did. You create them by your thinking about them. And every time you think about them, you endorse their program. You know, so many parents, they say, we don't want our children to swear and to smoke and to drink and this and that and the other thing. And they do it. And they say, well, we're adults. Well, are you saying that when children are children, they can't do it? And when children are adults, they can do it? Yeah. Well, is it something that you would recommend that all children prepare for when they're adults to drink and smoke and chew and spit and all that sort of stuff, you know, take drugs? Well, are you proud of yourself doing those things? Then, yeah, that's the example you're giving your children of whatever you do. If you swear, your children think it's okay to swear. If you are indiscreet, or if you are having lovers on the side as your husband and wife, you have lovers on the side, your children think that's perfectly okay, and they'll follow suit. If you feel you can cheat in business because it's on your side, you make the money, then your children will think they can. If you answer the phone and say somebody's not here who's sitting right there, your children will say, realize they can lie too. You know, you don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to. I mean, certainly if you said to whoever was on the other end of the line, or somebody said, yeah, Dad is here, but he's taking a nap. Yeah, Dad is here, but he doesn't want to be disturbed. Yeah, Dad is here. This is Sunday, his day off, and he doesn't want to be involved in anything. And it's his boss calling, you know. Could you say something like that? Yeah, you shake your head, yes, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, this is, of course, but you see, now think of this. Think of this. You say, oh, yes, I could say that. Well, why don't you be honest with yourself? Why don't you, instead of having to say something like that, don't create them calling. Don't create them calling. Look, if you want to, and you want to be at home alone on a Sunday afternoon without anyone bothering you, unplug the telephone. But what if something important comes? They'll get a hold of you. And what important is going to happen? Well, somebody died. Well, they'll stay dead, you know. And then you will go and see them at the right time. But what if somebody needs my help because, you know, they're hurting? If they don't find you, they'll find somebody else. Well, what if I'm on their phone? Hey, if you're going to create all these what ifs, then what you're doing is saying you want to be bothered. You want to be bothered. And you're lying your silly head off saying you don't want to be bothered. And if you're going to lie to me on the premise, how then can the difference be with all the other aspects of it? We have to be true to ourselves. Now, are you doing what's fun for you and being yourself when you have a telephone call and you don't want to answer it? And so you say, son, I'm stepping out. So you step out the front door and the phone rings and, hi, is John there? No, he just left. Oh, can you catch him? No, he's pretty fast. But what is it that you need? You know, how fast should I run? Well, this is his boss calling. If he doesn't get back here right now, he's fired. Just a minute, I'll do my best to get him. And you see, with that kind of motivation, you move out a little bit, you know. But in any event, if you're going to lie, you have to play the game. If you're going to say he's not here, then don't be here. Get out. And tell the kids, I'm going for a walk and I'll be back in an hour or two, you know. And go for your walk. And you can change your mind and come back in 10 minutes if you want. But the thing is, go. And then your kids can say you're not there, in all honesty. And you're not there. Even though you did it because you didn't want to be there. That is dishonest. Because if you know that you're going to get a very important call, and you're so antsy about it, you can't sit still and stay down and wait, that you have to move around or even go away. That's interesting, isn't it? Now think about that. I find that tact is the gift of building a fire under people and their dreams without making their blood boil. I know with a lot of you, I have to use an awful lot of tact. And I have to say things with my tongue in my cheek, not lying, but say things to work with you. Now, teaching you to be honest is a very tough thing. And I'll say to you, tell me yes or no, and then say whatever else you want to say. But tell me yes or no. Answer my question. And your training all of your life has been to prevaricate, to not tell the direct truth right away, even though there's no reason for not telling it. But that's your teaching all your life. That's your teaching from your home. That's your teaching from your school. That's your teaching from your church. You're teaching from your government. You're teaching from all, you know? And why is it that the phrase, tell them only what they need to know? Why? That's because you don't want people knowing everything. Well, you see, if we live in a world where we are afraid to have people know who and what we are, if we live in a world that we have to have blinds on our windows, say, your house is on a busy part of the town, and you're going up to your bedroom, and you're changing your clothes, and you're naked in front of the window there. You're not standing in front of the window to be naked, you just happen to be there. And so a neighbor looks up, or somebody looks up and says, ah, a naked man, you know, or a naked woman, or whatever. And why are they looking? Why are they nosy looking into your house? Why are they looking into your bedroom? That's your private place. But why are they doing it? And of course, why are you being indecent in front of the window too, as far as they're concerned? You see, it's a big story, and it's a matter of what we've been trained for all of our life. Now, if you were in a nudist camp, and someone was upstairs changing their clothes in front of a window, you wouldn't think a thing about it, would you? Mm-mm. Now, if you had a house with no blinds, like mine, people can look in anytime they want, and you know, nobody wants to look in. Nobody even cares about looking in. And that is the case. That's what happens. When I had the embassy, the windows were always open, and nobody ever looked in. Ellen moves over there, she uses the bathroom, and she immediately closes the blinds because it's facing out on the whole area where cars pull up and the garages and stuff like that. And she is creating people peeking. And if she didn't create people peeking, they wouldn't peek. And even if people come up and they see the blinds closed and somebody moving in front of the blind, they peek through the little slit in the blinds to see what is going on in there. And they find out she's brushing her hair or something like that, you know? And why is it that, what are we hiding? What are we hiding all of our life? We want to do things that build a fire under people, under their motivations to do things. And the way we build fires under their motivation is tactfully to say, well, if there's one thing I can do, I can depend on you. And then leave it alone. Then another day you say, you're a person of integrity. It's a pleasure to work with you and to have you in my world. And then another day you say, oh, would you do the bookkeeping today? You want me to do the bookkeeping? And I'll know all about the bills that are being paid and not being paid and stuff like that. You want me to know all that stuff? Well, now that you mention it, no. But I wanted you to pay the bills and just do that job, and not think that you now have privy to information which satisfies your whatever, you know. Why would anyone need to know what bills are being paid or what bills are not being paid? What money is there, what money is not there? Why would anyone want to know? Except that they feel that they are now aware. I find it very interesting about our stockbroker, too. He, our advisor, whenever we had a lot of money with him, he was with us regularly, telling us everything, sharing everything with us, telling us what the market's going up and down and stuff, and, you know, it just kept us right on top of it. And the minute the market plunged and we were like an average shareholder, no longer the biggie, he stopped having that interest in us because there was nothing much he could do. He could only work so far. And you see, this creates a problem. When we have that kind of a motivation. We want to have a motivation that I love you, whether you are developed or not. It's just like a family has a little baby, and the little baby certainly is nothing. It's a little schnook, you know, and it's crying, it's hungry, it wants its pants changed, it wants all that stuff. And a couple of years later, that baby is president of the United States.
Wow!
I knew them when. You know, did you respect them then? Did you always respect every child as a potential Christ child? Did you always respect every being in your world as what they can be? Did you have the tact to encourage them to be and have fun doing what they're being? And the answer is no, because you weren't. Well, my parents didn't know how to raise children either. My parents didn't know this here. And that's no problem. You don't either. You and your parents are equally stupid. I don't mean that unkindly. You're equally unaware of what it takes to raise a child. And so you bungle your way through, and you do your best, and you encourage the child with lots of love, lots of tact, lots of caring, and have the child be itself and have fun. And then when the child grows up and is something great, you feel very, very good about it. You don't say, I did it. You say, he did it, or she did it. But the minute you say, I did it, a chip off the old block, you know, then what you are doing is taking credit for them being themselves. Or maybe they're not being themselves. Maybe they are just a chip off the old block and no more. You see, we have a wonderful privilege. The privilege of taking our tact and our gift and building a fire under people with it and encouraging them to be themselves and have fun with no limitation. My brother Ray had a problem for a while there. I said, hey Ray, you're my brother, I love you. I don't care what your problem is, I love you. And then later I had a problem and he turned right around and he says, hey brother, I love you. No problem. See? He learned, I learned, we all learn. When life goes on, we don't have problems. We have solutions to the problems. And how we handle those solutions with the tact that we handle those solutions shows the master that we are. So this is how I look for each one of you. I find that tact is the gift of building a fire under people and their dreams without making their blood boil. So have at it today. I love you. I love you. I love you.